Welcome to Between Two Lips, a podcast dedicated to all things pelvic health for women. I'm your host, Kim Bopney, the Vagina Coach, and I am excited to share with you information from leading pelvic health professionals from around the world, stories from women at all life stages who have faced struggles and successes, and of course, I share a little about my own pelvic health journey as well. There is too much silent suffering associated with the female pelvis, and I am on a mission to change that. It's time we talk openly about a part of the body that deserves a whole lot more attention than it gets. Join me each week for casual and candid conversations that will both inform and inspire you to optimize your pelvic health for life. I'd like to thank the sponsor of today's episode, Feel Amazing Vulva and Vaginal Moisturizer. Studies show that moisturizing with hyaluronic acid is an effective treatment for vaginal dryness. Vaginal dryness is most commonly associated with menopause. When we reach menopause, estrogen goes for a steep decline, and so does hyaluronic acid. Hyaluronic acid is a naturally occurring molecule that our body makes on its own, keeping our eyes, mouth, skin, joints, and vaginas naturally lubricated. But our body's hyaluronic acid starts to decline in our 30s and 40s, and then more significantly post-menopause. There are other reasons that can lead to vulva and vaginal dryness, including the birth control pill, postpartum, overuse of pads and panty liners, certain cancer treatments, and some medications and health conditions. The Feel Amazing Vulva and Vaginal Moisturizer is made from hyaluronic acid and vitamin E to restore natural moisture back into the skin cells of the vulva and vaginal wall. It was researched and developed by BC-based pharmacists in collaboration with vagina owners age 35 and up, and my good friend Shirley Weir over at Menopause Chicks. Feel Amazing can be purchased online without a prescription. This means you can take control of your vaginal health and apply the moisturizer as often as your own unique needs require without having to consult a doctor first. I use Feel Amazing, have been using it for several years and absolutely love it. I put it on right after my morning shower and it truly does feel amazing. No mess, no goo, just tissue support and health that I absolutely love. I've got a link in the show notes for you so you can get started taking care of your vulva vaginal health by moisturizing your vagina today. Welcome to another episode of Between Two Lips. I'm your host, Kim Bopney, the Vagina Coach. And in this week's episode, I am joined by Anne-Marie McQueen. She's a journalist. She founded an amazing platform called Hot Flash Inc. And I was actually trying to remember how I even first connected with her, found her. I don't remember, but her newsletter at Hot Flash Inc. is the only newsletter that I read every single one from start to finish. Everything. I have signed up for a kajillion things. I have a flooded inbox. Some of them I read, some of them I don't, but Hot Flash Inc. comes in and I read top to bottom every single time. I love her. I love her work. I love her thoughts. I love the wit that comes through her writing. I love the research she does. I love the evidence she shares. I love the opinions she shares and the thought that she provokes in the way that she presents her information. She's Canadian. She was in the country. She lives in the Middle East, but she was in Canada recently for an unfortunate reason. However, we did have an opportunity to connect being on fairly similar time zones, and we had a really great chat. And I forgot to record usually I record the introduction after we've had the conversation, and I forgot to do that. So I'm recording this now from a hotel room in Dallas, Texas, just after going to the gym. Anyway, the conversation that we had was, we kind of meandered our way through how she got started. Then we got into why menopause is such a hot topic and what contributed to that explosion. And we explored a slogan that she has, which is, this is going somewhere good. So we explored what she means by that and where she thinks this is all going. It was a great conversation. I hope you enjoy, and I would definitely encourage you to sign up for her newsletter. And something that I don't do is I don't ask people to sign up. No, not sign up. I don't ask people to rate my podcast or subscribe to it. But I would really love if you did, because this is a platform that I love having conversations with amazing people like Anne-Marie. I love sharing free content. And I would love for this information to reach the ears of more people. And when I get positive reviews and ratings, it helps boost the podcast so that more people will find it. So if you could leave a rating, ideally a really good rating in the App Store, that would be cool. If you can leave an actual review, that would be awesome as well. Thank you very much. And I hope you enjoy this episode with Anne-Marie McQueen. Hello, Anne-Marie. We are both in Canada right now, which is not always, but you're usually on the other side of the world.
This is a really nice, manageable time difference.
Yeah. I know it's not the most ideal thing, the ideal reason why you're back here, but I wanted an opportunity to chat while you're here in the same time zone. It's always easier to connect. So thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm always happy to talk to you, no matter what's going on in my life.
Yeah. So we had a nice long chat beforehand. We were saying maybe we should have pressed record, but we ended with you saying, this is the year at Hot Flash Inc. that we're putting our vaginas first. So before we go there, because I had to drop that nugget, but what's your background? What is Hot Flash Inc.? And then we'll talk about putting vaginas first.
Okay. So like many of us in this age group, I didn't even know what perimenopause was. I knew about menopause, but I didn't know about perimenopause. So I had sort of an epic perimenopause without knowing it. I just hit a wall in my early 40s and went, I felt like I was going crazy. You know, I had now what I know are very typical symptoms from declining progesterone, like just massive anxiety and panic attacks and nightmares and waking up in the middle of the night and fear of flying. And then all those other weird symptoms like tingling on my head and chest pain and neck tension and terrible headaches, like on and on, right? For 6 years. And then I realized, or I heard about it, that what perimenopause was. And then I started to realize, I think I skipped a period. And then I was like, okay, I'm 47. Like, this is what this is. And then I got just really interested in it because I'm a journalist. So I made a Google alert and all the information coming back was sucked. It just wasn't good. It was like still not great. It's getting a lot better, but it was just really negative or, you know, promotional for something or making money for someone, very slanted. And so I just started thinking, God, there's got to be a way I could do a newsletter of the way, because I'm a journalist and I'm obsessed with content. And I became an editor over in Abu Dhabi. And during those years of a arts and lifestyle section, I was just like, I feel like I could cover this in the way that I cover everything else. And so newsletters weren't crazy then. Like, I don't even know if Substack was around, but I launched it in 2020 in the pandemic. And then it's grown. I have a podcast and all the social media. And then I just felt then, I guess it would have been 2017, that this was a conversation that was going to break open, because we had just been through Me Too. And I just felt like this is like the following on from that. Like, this age group, this generation of women just aren't, we don't want to be ashamed about anything, you know? And I'm seeing young girls like talk about they're having their periods openly. And I just felt like it was going to, and I was right. So I've met all these I didn't anticipate meeting all these amazing people around the world, talking to all of, and you and others, but it's basically a platform to provide context, as unbiased information as possible. No, you know, it's not a natural menopause. It's not medicalized. It's everything. We respect everything, but you know, I don't believe that menopause is a disease or a deficiency. And so that is part of the platform.
It is, I've said this to you before, it is the only, of all the newsletters and email lists that I'm subscribed to and whatever, it is the only one that literally every time it lands in my inbox, I will read it from start to finish every single time. It is spectacular. And I love that you come through, that your voice comes through. I love the research that you do. I don't know where you find all of your resources, but I love your research. I love your mind. I love your wit. I love the storytelling that happens. It's spectacular, and I love it. So everybody needs to
sign
up.
Thank you, Kim. I appreciate it.
So I'm putting the vagina first over here for just one more second, because you said one other thing, and you said you had a sense that this conversation was going to explode. You saw the Me Too movement and you sort of knew that this was going to happen. So what do you feel fueled that explosion of this conversation around perimenopause and menopause?
Well, I think we're just not quiet about things. Like, we're just, Gen X just isn't having it. You know what I mean? Like, we're just not going to go quietly like our parents did, like our mothers did. It's just not the way. And, you know, I mean, my mother did, you know, I'm just going through my father's belongings. I'm home because my father passed away and I found the deed on the house they bought in 1967. It's my father's name on it. You know, my mom didn't have a credit card then. Like, that is just one generation ago. And look what we do. You know, I've never even been married or had kids, but that's a bigger thing. But I'm just saying, we're so different. And we've been, you know, we're the generation that's done so much and been so vocal about things. And, you know, when you talk about me, you know, we would have silently borne like sexual harassment probably, but we're watching Me Too going like, not anymore, not for my daughters, not for my nieces. And so I just feel like you had celebrities, you know, you saw, it's funny because when I went into this in 2017, when I started it in 2020, even, I was so annoyed because you'd look at the fitness magazines and they were putting celebrities in their 40s and 50s on the covers of magazines, which I found really interesting. Now they're doing it all the time. And why are they doing that? Because we're a huge demographic and it makes sense. But they weren't ever saying anything about perimenopause or menopause yet. And I remember Naomi Watts, who's since launched Stripes, was on the cover of Women's Health. And she even said in it, I started a skincare store because, you know, I was having hormonal problems and the reporter didn't even ask her. And I could just see, like, she wanted to talk about it. And probably this was a 25-year-old magazine reporter that didn't ask her about it. And I felt like if we could get celebrities, and I think Viola Davis had already done her Jimmy Kimmel interview maybe by then, but there was just little signs that it was going to happen. And yeah, that's kind of, I just feel like we're really, Gen X has been through it all, right? Like we've been through it all, but we also, I think, have had very hard perimenopause situations because we had hard childhoods with adverse childhood experiences and we've been really hard on our bodies and we went through the work hard, you know, you have to produce, like we've just got so much stuff in our heads that's like, I think maybe the younger generations might not have, I'm hoping. So that's a lot of word salad I just gave you, but I think there's a whole bunch of reasons.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so now back to vaginas. Mm. Why is this the year that Hot Flash Inc. is putting vaginas first?
Okay, well, first of all, it's the year I'm putting my vagina first. So I just figure if I'm going to be doing it and exploring what I'm doing, then I might as well be sharing it. So when the newsletter is back up, which it will be shortly, we're going to be talking about that. And I'm so interested because one of the things about this conversation that drives me nuts is everyone is looking for the one answer. So, you know, I've been noticing for a couple of years, it's like, okay, vaginal estrogen is the answer. But there's so many other things, as you know, like I just ordered a Joylux's V-Sculpt, the red light therapy machine that you talked about on my podcast. I'm having people coming to me with all sorts of devices. I'm interested in lasers and ultrasound therapy. There's so many things, and I don't always think just one thing works. I mean, I just had a consult with a doctor, and she said DHEA works really well in addition to vaginal estrogen. And I'm doing, for the first time in my life, saw a pelvic health physiotherapist, which you recommended to me years ago. But the main reason is that it is so easy to put this part of yourself just downstairs in a box. Basically, it's already downstairs. You know what I mean? It's so easy to cut yourself off from...
It's already in a box.
Yeah, it's already in a box. So I have, and I'm noticing all my friends I'm talking to that they are talking to me about this more and more. It is the center of us. If it's, you know, and I realize as I've done so, I've interviewed probably, I think I've had 100 episodes of the podcast. And anytime I talk to more spiritual people, it's like, this is your actual center. Like, there are so many similarities in the design and look of our sexual organs and our vocal cords and our thyroid. And like, it is our voice. It is our center. It is us. So when we're just ignoring it, and when you're walking around feeling like you're leaking, feeling like my best friend just said she felt like her uterus was falling out. And now she's at a pelvic floor physiotherapist and she got some device to help her. And how can you feel good when you're constantly having the back of your mind, like this psychic drag, but also it should be first because it's us. It's like the essence of us. And so I want us to stop separating ourselves. And I know how easy that is. And I don't have kids, you know, to keep me distracted from that. But I have other things that I'm busy with. And so I know how hard it is. And I've decided to make it a priority because I think from there can flow like some really some clarity. And, you know, even have some people talking about like financial abundance. If you can get your, you just, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know absolutely what you're talking about. And that distraction that people have when, you know, we put a pad on and we can manage the lease and people can usually put up with that. But once it gets, you know, perimenopause, menopause, and now it's a much bigger problem. Now we have vaginal dryness and burning and irritation. And now we have prolapse. Now we have painful sex. And it starts to compound and it's not something that we can ignore anymore. And a point that you made that I think is so important is it's not just one thing. It's not go home and do your Kegels, which so many of us have heard the Kegel reference for years and years, if anything. And Kegels are great. Like Kegels are evidence-based. They're super helpful in many ways, but it's not the only thing. And taking a multifaceted approach and I always say sometimes when I'm talking to people, I'm like, you can try this and you can try this. And I think, gosh, I'm giving them this big long to-do list on top of their already long to-do list. But I ask them to also reframe it and say, these are all opportunities that you can try or not try. That choice is yours. And maybe one of these things will provide you some relief. Maybe it'll be a combination approach and a few of them together will. But know that you have options and you have resources and opportunities. It's not just go home and do Kegels, and if they're not working, then sorry, you're out of luck.
Well, yeah, because this gets genitory syndrome of menopause has got so many different things, and I think people think of it as like the urinary stuff is the pelvic floor stuff. It is huge, but there's just so many other aspects to it. And then where I like to think I come in is that there's all these competing interests too. Like I feel like it's very. It serves interest if people are trying to say, all you need is vaginal estrogen. All you need is a pelvic floor physiotherapist. All you need is this. All you need is that. And then you hear someone saying, lasers are a scam. Ultrasound is a scam. Red light therapy is a scam. Like, this is what this whole space is like, where I believe in my life, any health problem I've had has always been a number of different things I've done. And even, you know, I had a big sort of health problem last year and it was complicated and it was like thyroid, liver, gut. It was all everything you can imagine. It wasn't just the great doctor I found. It was the somatic work that I did. It was the breath work that I did. It was a bunch of stuff. You know what I mean? It was just like writing in my journal and going for walks. Like I couldn't really pick one thing. And so when it comes to your vagina, there's so many different things. Like, you know, and it's admitting to yourself, like, I'll just be frank and say one of the things that bothers me is that I have like sort of muted orgasms or disappearing orgasms. A lot of women have this. And I didn't even know this was a thing until I was interviewing a nurse practitioner in Nashville. And she was talking about it. It like stopped me cold, like muted orgasm. Wow. You know, like that is a thing. So I'm trying to address that with red light therapy. And that's why I was talking to the doctor about DHEA. She said DHEA is actually quite helpful with that. And if you do and then the pelvic floor specialist said, if you use estrogen and do the Kegels, that you could probably get your orgasms back the way they were. And I'm like, okay, I would love that because I think that would make me a lot happier. But that sounds incredibly complicated, right? Like, but it's really not. It's just the legwork. But I think when you said opportunity, I really like that because you have to put yourself first to do that, right? Like you have to. And we don't always do that as women. Like we don't always think we're worth it. And I'm here going through all my father's affairs and taking so much care because I want to do it perfectly. And I'm even thinking to myself, like, you need to start taking this much care with your own financial affairs. Like you're doing this for him. You need to do this for you. And I think that in this, if we can do this for ourselves, it will go so far to building up like our own self-esteem and belief in ourselves and confidence too. Like I think it's multi-layered. It's going to help you and it's going to help you.
And one of the questions I was going to ask you was as it pertains to the good and bad of social media. And I think part of the good is that there's
all these opportunities and options that can be presented. Part of the bad can be you have the contradictory information where there's somebody who is very anti this one option and another person who's very pro this option, and you have to make the decision. I recently had somebody on the podcast who does vaginal steaming, and she actually created this incredible vaginal steaming device that has red light therapy that's temperature controlled and trying to address all of the naysayer information out there. It's going to burn your vagina. It's going to do all these bad things. And I had always wanted to have somebody who would talk about yoni steaming or vaginal steaming. And I hadn't found the right person until I found her, and I had her on, and it was debunking a lot of these myths, because there's more people in the, that is the worst decision you could ever make for your vagina. But I also look at it and say, I actually really love it. And I think the principles behind it and coming back to the spirituality and our center and honoring this part of our body, it deserves some exploration. And so what do you feel like, is that what your experience has been with regards to messages and social media? What's the good and bad that has happened in the perimenopause and postmenopause?
Well, I love that you mentioned that, because I also was looking for someone. There's a documentary coming out, and the people that run that account always talk about how they get, you know, they're not amplified and no one's getting their messages. I think vaginal steaming is such a, well, I don't know. I don't even know what to call it because people freak out. But yoni steaming, I think that is the most fascinating touch point for this. And if someone, first of all, I just want to say that Gwyneth Paltrow is another touch point. People go absolutely mental about her. And one of the reasons people go mental about Gwyneth Paltrow is a long time ago on their website, they mentioned yoni steaming. That's like, and now you'll still see reporters write, Gwyneth Paltrow, the proponent of yoni steaming. And what I love is I sort of modeled Hot Flash Ink on Goop, because she started with a newsletter. So I was reading all through her business plan, and they have a really good sense of humor over there, whatever you think of them. And they had a little thing that said, we've never written about yoni steaming. We only wrote about a place that offers it in LA that's very popular. And that's it. That's it. So that just shows you the level of ignorance of people just willing to repeat things and repeat things. Like, you know, you're going to burn yourself. What am I? And I know there's people who aren't very smart out there, but I tried it because I got some herbs at an event and I put the bowl in the toilet. Like, I'm not going to, you know what I mean? I'm not going to, I just think it's so typical of humans though, because tell someone a new idea, tell someone something cool, and 99% of people will tell you why it can't work, what's wrong with it, before they know anything about it. And so to me, it really separates the thoughtful, curious, open people who don't just knee-jerk against anything interesting. Like, you know, there's a prominent person on social media, and this has nothing to do with perimenopause really, but it was ice baths. I guess some new research came out about ice baths, and they said, go figure, ice baths don't work. And I just laughed, because I was like, well, they work for me. They make me feel really good. And this just, you know, this is just out there, Kim, right? It's like vaginal steaming is bad. What are some of the other touch points of things that are just bad? Compounded hormones are bad. But I went and talked to the Compounding Alliance and some very professional people over there and learned all about how compounding hormones are very helpful for millions of people. And now I notice that the doctors who actually I've seen say compounding hormones are a scam, I've seen them hold up their compounded testosterone. So I feel like saying, oh, it's a scam, but it's not a scam when you want your testosterone. Like, there's so much nuttiness like this. And I just, to me, it's like, okay, you're a person who talks about that, then you're a person that I put add a bunch of grains of salt to whatever you say. Another one is the Dutch test. Anything to do with a Dutch test that measures cortisol. I mean, I had someone I thought was really cool, and she said, oh, it's just, she swore. She says, you know, bullshit. It's nothing. And I was like, okay, well, it's not, you know, it's not. And so, yeah, I mean, there's so many of them. What other ones are there? There's just so many that people go crazy. Oh, pellets, compounded pellets, which are the devil, except that I talked to loads of people that use them and they help them greatly and they work for them. And you have to be careful, you know? So it's just like, what? I don't know. You must find this too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything new?
A 1,000%. And I get all the lists that you've just said. Yeah. And I think it's, I appreciate opinions and I appreciate hearing the two sides. And I'm glad that those conversations exist. I think that the challenge is that by saying that they're so bad, that they're somehow, like, it just makes it more confusing for the person. So now they're thinking this could be an option for me. And now they see oftentimes that's what's highlighted is the bad, the ugly. And it's what social media loves when it's negative, right? And so then now they're feeling like, oh, this is dangerous. And I should feel ashamed for even thinking about this in the first place. And really at the end of the day, it's what's going to work for you. And you go through the information, figure out what's the best decision for your body and go forward. And so I'm a big fan of the Dutch test and yoni steaming and compounded hormones that I've been using for many years. And
right.
And I love the episode that you did about compounding hormones, by the way, was awesome. I absolutely loved it. Yeah. Pick the good resources.
If you listen to it, you'll just come away. And then I just thought that episode blew my mind. And then it felt like it unveiled a bunch of people on social media as being like pretty ignorant or pretty, I don't even know if it's ignorant or if you're so in the medical side, the mainstream side, the pharmaceutical side, you just can't see it. Like that's another thing I'm willing to acknowledge. Cause I think when you've grown up in that space, you don't see it. You don't see how it makes no sense. You don't see how bioidentical hormones used to be the devil. It used to be bioidentical hormones. And then pharmaceutical companies started making bioidentical hormones. And then all of a sudden it was fine. So this is like, you know, it's just context. Like we need some, you know, social media is not great for the nuance. But yeah, I'm just always, and I'm learning so much about this. But there's a lot of commercial interests in this. There's a lot of, you know, I always, when I was in journalism and I was covering City Hall and I would get confused about what was going on down there and who was telling the truth. It's like, okay, well, who follow the power and the money and who stands to gain from this message and then go from there. Because usually the people who have more of a reason to say something and the people who are saying the thing that they're disagreeing with, that can sort of help you get to the truth, I think. But I do think that big business interests are playing a big role here. And I think people think I'm anti-HRT because one of the things that's driving me crazy, and you probably know this, is like the all HRT all the time. And I started calling some of these doctors estrogen maximalists after the crypto space. I call them e-maxis, but they're just like estrogen will save everything. Estrogen will save everything. And sort of not much attention paid to any other hormones other than, you know, like I've interviewed so many people in my podcast where it was clear they're just, their only really sort of knowledge of progesterone or progestogens is to oppose estrogen. And that's sort of shocking if these are people that are in this space to talk about it. And then the nuance of that is like, I just did a consult with a doctor about my own situation. And she said, you know, your adrenal fatigue, which is another phrase that will make people crazy. But she's like, I don't really think the estrogen patch would be great for you because you need estriol as well as estradiol. And there is no estriol. And she's like, we'll go do some phytoestrogens before. But down the road, the reason you might want to go to compounded is that it has estradiol and estriol. Now, is she scamming me? Like, no, I don't think she's scamming me. She's saying this is a layer that you need because you really don't have any estrogen at all. And if you were to add it in, you need both of these. So, you know, that's not what you hear. That's not what you hear at all. But that's kind of a nuance that's really difficult to explain. So I'm just trying to walk through it myself. But boy, there's a mean girls club out there, Kim.
1,000%. Yeah, which leads me to my next question. Where do you always, you're very evidence informed. You present the facts. What are your favorite resources? And some of them may not be accessible for everybody, but from a social media perspective, maybe, what are your favorite resources for people to, that you have seen a balanced presentation other than your own newsletter?
Yeah. Marianne Jacobson is a dietitian, Midlife Strong. She is awesome. Like I'm obsessed with her newsletter and she is very much convinced as I am that this, like I almost want to change my tagline for Hot Flash Inc. It's not all hormones, but that's like so controversial right now because the message is it is hormones. Don't let any, you know, there's huge doctors stitching videos with other functional doctors trying to say like, let's get to the root cause. And they're like, it's just menopause. So I really like her because she talks about like such important stuff like nitric oxide and like all the stuff that we need to be talking about in our gut health. And we're not even beginning to talk about gut health. My God, like that's a crazy, I mean, I've had my own experience with it. I have a expert panel. You're on my expert panel. Whenever I talk to someone really smart, really curious, really open-minded, and you have to be humble, because if you have an ego, like I know, you're not going to learn and you're not going to be open. And this space is wide open. We don't have enough research. We're just at the beginning. We know what's happened with women's health research. You know, I keep saying there's a million studies on pregnancy, and like, I think it's like under 100,000 on menopause and under 10,000 on perimenopause. So no one knows anything for sure. So I have a bunch of experts on there that I would go and follow on social media, because they are people that I have found to be very open-minded. And there's probably some conspicuous absences on there, or people who you might think would be on there, but they're not. And then I follow the guiding bodies, because I think they're all we have. You know, there's no guiding body in the world that's recommending hormone therapy to prevent dementia or cardiovascular disease at this moment, because this research isn't really definitive. And although you hear a lot of people saying that it is. And so, you know, maybe there's reasons why they're not doing that, because anytime I say that, I'll get someone in the background writing to me a DM saying, oh, you don't know, because then it would be insurance and yada, yada, yada. But they are looking at the research. And so I feel pretty confident in drawing them in. Those are kind of, and just primary resources, you know, reading studies, which is hard. It's hard for me. I'm still learning how to read clinical studies. It's hard to get access to them. And I think that's about it. There's more. I read everything, but it's just amazing to me how many people don't cast a wide net. When I was an editor, I would say to the reporters, you have to cast a wide net. You've just gone and done like a small, narrow piece of this. This is why I'm a crazy person, because I can't just do something simply. But one thing that's making me crazy lately is that they always say only whales and humans go through menopause, right? That's like accepted as truth. Only whales and humans go through menopause. And I've had people on Instagram say, why are you so obsessed with this? It's because it's not true. Like, in the time that I have been covering this, chimpanzees, elephants, there's a dogs. And now there's a pair of researchers in Germany, and they did a study, and they say 80% of animals go through menopause. Well, no, I just read another study about whales and a specific thing about why they go through menopause out of the UK. And the woman running that study said only whales and humans go through menopause. And I'm here in London screaming like, how can you not know about these other researchers? This is what science is like. Like, this is, you think this doesn't happen with the research that they're doing on our bodies? That woman doesn't even know about another person who's done this important research. Does she not have a Google alert? Like, she's so focused on her research. And that's awesome. But you see what, this is my frustration. So that's why I just have to look at a lot of primary resources and sit here a lot and think, am I crazy because I think this? Because this really smart person is saying this. But I think, you know, I went viral on TikTok a couple of weeks ago, and one thing people kept saying is, who are you? What are your credentials? And I'm like, I'm a journalist. We don't really have credentials. And they're like, well, you're not a doctor or a scientist. And I'm like, no, I'm not. But I sit up here and I can look and see gaps. And I'm not saying like I'm an all-knowing person, but because I'm not immersed and because I don't have those biases that are brought by my trade, by my practice, I can see those things. That's not what you asked. I just went off on a big tangent there, Kim. I'm sorry.
But I love your tangents. And I love, because that's what happens in your newsletter as well, where you will mention one thing and you will reference, and then you will go off on your tangent about something else. And then you'll reference that. And you so beautifully and eloquently pull together what is very hard to decipher and what's very hard for people to find. So you would be my number one, your newsletter would be my number one resource of people to go and learn about perimenopause and the research. And I'm not just saying that to blow sunshine up your butt. I truly believe it is.
Thank you. Well, that just shows you that there's not very many people looking at it this way, right? Like, I named Marianne Jacobson. Everyone else has got sort of an angle or a slant or a way of looking at it. So I think we need more people like that. So if there's anyone out there, get going.
Hey, I'm just jumping in to gently nudge you to put your pelvic health at the top of your to-do list today. I'm not talking about hundreds of Kegels. I'm talking about a whole body approach that addresses root causes and helps you get rid of your leaky bladder, your prolapse symptoms, your chronic low back pain, and your lackluster sex. My 28-day BuffMuff challenge has helped over 6,000 women stop suffering and get back to living. It's an app-based pelvic floor fitness program that gives you a 10-minute whole body workout each day for 28 days. That's it. 10 minutes is all it takes. You will build your bones, your heart, and your pelvic floor in a way that is unique and effective. Participants are always saying that they have never heard of an approach like this, and they have only ever been told to do Kegels or to never do Kegels, but instead do reverse Kegels. Kegels are effective and do work when done correctly and consistently, but most women don't know how to do them correctly, so even if they are consistent, they don't get the results they want, so they give up. I believe the pelvic floor needs to be trained dynamically with whole body movement, not with static Kegels done over and over. Come join me in my Buff Muff app and take the 28-day challenge. What do you have to lose except the pads, the symptoms, and the limitations? It's time to ditch the incontinence pads, eliminate bothersome symptoms, and get back to living. I have a link in the show notes below so you can sign up now and start buffing your muff right away.
One thing that you say, you have a slogan, I think you might have even made a shirt, I'm not sure, but you say, this is going somewhere good. Where did that stem from and where do you feel we're going?
Okay, so when I realized I was in perimenopause, weirdly, when I was 45, I was like, oh, I need to prepare for this menopause thing. So I read a chapter in, well, she's been canceled now, but I think her menopause stuff is great. Christiane Northrup. She's the anti-vaxxer devil woman. You can't even mention her name, but I am mentioning it because her menopause work stands and I don't like when people are canceled. Anyway, I went back and read the chapter of her book at 45 and then I closed it. I'm like, this sounds awesome because one of the things that's great about her is the way that she framed menopause. And she talked about the hormonal changes and what happens to your FSH and your LH. And she drew diagrams. And she said, basically, those great days after your period, when you feel like you're on fire and you're so energetic, that's what ends up happening to your body after menopause. And I was like, well, that's amazing. And it was the first time I thought, I'm not going to have this roller coaster of like PMS and everything I always dealt with. So I closed the book. I'm like, this is great. Not realizing that I was in the middle of a raging perimenopause and that all of these, because she didn't really talk about that in this chapter. And then when I realized that I was in perimenopause, I ended up reading her book, The Wisdom of Menopause, and I ended up finding out a lot more. But I just remembered that moment, that one thing where she described the actual physical changes that happen after you go through. And of course, we're all in some sort of environmental mismatch right now where things are a lot harder on us and we have all these other things going on with our health. But actually, women are a lot happier after. And we hear this all the time. Lisa Moscone is doing the circuit for her new book about brain health. And she's just been on a podcast with Elise Lonin talking about the upside of menopause. And, you know, women are happier when they go through this. Like, I am happier. So much happier. I'm so much more at peace. I've been at war with myself, I feel like, my whole life. And I saw that at 47, 45. And then, you know, it took a long time, but I'm here. And there's a couple of people out there who say, like, I'm Pollyanna because I say that. I've seen people even say this isn't actually going somewhere good. And it's like, well, I don't know what you're trying to do, but there is a lot of money to be made in making this sound like a miserable thing, right? Because when you instill fear, uncertainty, and doubt in people, then I just think they're much more likely to believe you and freak out and buy something. And that's not what I'm going to do. And I'll maintain it till the end. And it's just become true. I mean, I would have said if I was more miserable now myself personally, I would say I was wrong. It doesn't go somewhere good. I'm just a miserable thing. But how many? Like my friend in her 40s, she hung around this group of older women and her husband called them the menopause. So that's where I got menopause and perimenopause. And she just said, they're so great. They don't care. They have so much fun. And then I started to see these women all over. And so, you know, this is the thing that gets lost. And this is the thing that people don't always like talking about if their business is tied up in making you think that this is a experience of misery and you need them to get through it, you know. There's lots of doctors talking about how you lose your estrogen and that's it and it's over. I just feel like those kinds of information providers are so short-sighted because it is most definitely a transition and that's proven in the evidence in all sorts of realms. So yes, it's a tipping point and yes, you can have health problems and psychological problems, but overall it is going somewhere good. So that's why.
I love that. I love it. Before we wrap up, what What has been for your perimenopause, like managing, you were saying you had, you know, 3-6 years of crazy symptoms and what have you, and you were curious and you were trying things and you were open to whatever was being presented to you and what could possibly help. So what have you found, like if you were to pick kind of 2-3 things that have helped support you through this transition the most, what would you say?
So definitely gut health. I had IBS since I started my career. It was very stressful. And I lived with IBS for like my whole life. It was just the way I lived. And, you know, pumping coffee into myself. And that just, you know, your body can run on sort of backup pathways for 10, 15 years, but it can't. And so that's one of the reasons I think I had such a terrible perimenopause. And like I said, my health blew up. So I had thyroid problems, fatty liver. I had prediabetes and insulin resistance, even though I'm very healthy and work out. So getting gut health, and I think we're going to see a huge connection there. Now, hormone therapy can help with gut health, that's for sure. But I think getting your body working. So a bite of food is going in and it's providing the energy that you need at your basic microcellular level, then that is like a very important thing. And a lot of people just live with gut problems and, you know, don't do anything about them because they think they're going to have to change their entire lives forever. And I had a leaky gut and I had to change for a while, but I'm back to okay. Adverse childhood experiences, you don't have to be chained to a radiator in the basement. Like, it was very hard for me to admit that I had things in my childhood because I felt disloyal to my parents. But we all did from the 70s. My gosh, like our parents were so different. And if you keep those things in the basement and then whatever else that was hard, like I had a lot of trauma at the beginning of my career. For me, it was traumatic to go to murders and sit in court cases of horrible things and be with people who've just gone through horrible traumas. I'm almost too sensitive for that. And so I didn't ever feel my emotions. I stuffed them. I overate. I drank. I shopped. I would go get massages. Like I would have told you I wasn't, but I wouldn't feel an emotion. And I thought they were going to wash over me. And that's the most important work I've done is learning to feel and process my emotions. And even now when I'm grieving my father, it's 1,000 times different than when my mom died 27 years ago, because then I just would do anything not to be upset. And now I know. So people are just afraid to cry, right? Like they think they're going to cry forever. And this is just so simple, but so important. And I really think I had a lot of my psychological issues that I had in early perimenopause were, you know, when that progesterone drops, I think that it might have been easier if I'd dealt with my gut health and adverse childhood experiences. And I really wish I'd known about progesterone then, because I think that that would have really helped me with some of that just like really bad panic that I had and those nightmares. I think if I'd been able to do that. Yeah, but those two things, physical, deal with your gut and deal with your stuff.
Yeah, I can speak to the gut health piece and the thyroid. When I started going through perimenopause, I had not heard the term perimenopause, and I started to have crazy, weird things happening to my body, and it had anxiety for the first time, and it wasn't sleeping. And being a young mom who at the time then had 2 businesses that were startups, everything could be explained away with, you're just stressed, have a glass of wine. And I would feel like crap after a glass of wine and couldn't pinpoint it. And I knew the one thing that I knew was kind of like, all right, this is a tipping point, not the tipping point, but the sort of the biggest clue was my raging murder scene periods made me say there must be something wrong with my hormones. I didn't know necessarily how to investigate that, but that was the piece that I thought, okay. And then that led me down the path where learn about the thyroid, learn about the gut health. And I would say I was in the same camp as you, where never heard the term gut health, hadn't even ever given it any thought. All of a sudden, I was dealing with constipation for the first time in my life. Didn't change anything. I was still exercising, still drinking the water, still doing all the things I used to eat the same that I did, and had to do that same thing that, and I love the way that you presented it, is it's not forever. It was a kind of a 3-year period of I needed to make some really big changes with my diet and what I was doing with my lifestyle, and it went somewhere good. It went somewhere good, and I love that. I love that slogan. So I will preach that. Yep, it is going somewhere good, and be patient, but also be curious along the way, because there are opportunities and options and people and resources that could plant a seed that maybe yoni steaming is going to help you. Maybe progesterone is going to help you. Maybe better sleep or adverse child experience support is going to help you. And find the one that, and be curious to go and give it a try. You never know.
Yeah. And I just beware of magic bullets, even when it comes to hormone therapy, because I think, you know, I always hear from women who say it was a lifesaver for me. And I think it is for a lot of women, but it also isn't for a lot of women. And I do believe that if you have this stuff going on and it's all connected, right? Like it's all connected. So if you have this stuff going on, I don't know, why not get to the bottom of it? Like you're being given an opportunity. And I think the problem is a lot of people don't want to change. And you hear people, I heard this on a podcast, two really smart women. I can't remember who they were. They were saying, everyone's trying to get back. Everyone's trying to get back. And it's like, get back to where? Like where some mythical day when you were 34, where everything was perfect. We can't go back. We can never go back. We can only move forward. And we don't want to move through a hard time. But on the other side, like it is peace. If you can do some work and you don't have to do it all at once, you know, like it's just so important. And that not wanting to change is really, really hard. And I get it, but you will be glad you did put the time in.
That's a great way to end off. I love that closing message. Where can people sign up for your newsletter, follow along your journey and learn more about you?
Okay. So it's Hot Flash Inc. everywhere. I'm active on social media right now, Instagram and TikTok. We're taking a little break while I'm going through this on the Substack and the podcast, but I will be back probably at the end of April with podcasts and with the Substack newsletter. And over there, I have a free weekend newsletter, and then I have a paid subscription that's going to take a deeper dive in the middle of the week and some more stuff. Substack is a really cool platform, and they just keep innovating as all these platforms do. So I'm going to be doing more to build a community over there and just go a little bit deeper than social media allows you.
I appreciate you so much and appreciate you coming and joining us today and sharing all of your wisdom. And I look forward to continuing to follow along.
Well, thank you, Kim. I appreciate you too. You're one of my favorite people I've met.
That's it for another episode of Between Two Lips. Thank you so much for choosing to spend part of your day with me. If you are enjoying the show, I recommend subscribing so you don't miss an episode, and I would also be grateful for a positive review. This will help get the information I share into the hands of more people who may not even know that help exists. Finally, I encourage you to take what you learn here and put it into action so that you can ensure that what you hear me and my guests share is not just lip service.